So, you refuse to talk, eh? Very well, there are certain ways to make you talk. First, I put my finger here and twist. So, and again, but this time a little further. Aha! Still silent. Very well, once more. So, now perhaps you will speak.
Hello, caller, direct for inquiry.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, and Joan Sims in...
No, stop, Miss Novell. And welcome. In answer to many requests, I've gone to the trouble of having it traced. Yes, and mimeograph copies are available to anyone who's interested.
Yes, is anybody going to ask what he's had traced?
Not likely.
I don't want to know.
You don't have to ask. You can see. Here it is. Look. Goes back for centuries, it does. Yes. The Williams family tree.
Yes, what's that at the bottom of it?
The Williams family dog.
No, it isn't, smart socks. Yes. That's me. Yes, the last of the breed. And I may say, it proves what I've always suspected. See that offshoot on the left? I'm in direct line of succession.
Yes, to what, though?
The throne! Yes, it only needs 70 million people to snuff it, and I'm in there, King Kenny the First.
King?
Do you know how it come about? In 1825, the Prince Regent used to go to Bath once a year. And my great-great-great-grand-auntie used to scrub his back. I don't want to go into all the sordid details.
Oh, why not?
Oh, all right, then. They became, Prinny and grand-auntie, what you might call, firm chums. And from this liaison, that's actual French, came my great-great-uncle Arbuthnot. And do you know what that made him?
I can guess.
759th in the line of succession. But we've been losing ground ever since. Well, they're so fertile, these aristocrats.
I've got a few notables as well, you know, in my family. Does the name Sir Walter Paddick strike a familiar note?
No.
Emily Pank Sims.
Oh, she's off.
Last of the militant suffragettes, one of my relatives, chained herself to the railings outside number 10.
You're making it up.
Oh, no, I'm not. She's still there. She wanted to vote for women. We'd had it for years, but she wouldn't be told.
No. Yes, well, that's all very interesting.
Robin Paddick of Sherwood Forest. He was another.
Was he?
Oh, yes. Yes. Used to rob from the poor and give it to the rich. He knew which side his bed was buttered on. Used to knock about with Maid Marian. Or was it Little John?
William Shakespeare. Ever heard of him? Stratford-on-Avon, 1564. Used to do a bit of scribbling, radio and television scripts mostly.
In 1564?
He was ahead of his time. And speaking of time, said he glibly, it's time now to pick up the romantic story of our star-crossed lovers, Meg and Tone.
My morning star, my harvest moon, my aurora borealis.
I'm right behind you.
Oh, and about time too, you silly old muffin.
Meet me by the phone box at 1:30, you said.
I said by it, not inside it, Tones. I walked past twice without seeing you.
Well, I had to come inside, because I was getting provocative looks from the lady in the laundrette.
Oh.
Winking at me over her spin dryer.
Well, it's the steam makes her like that.
Oh.
Full of steam, that laundrette is.
We're not doing so bad in here, huh?
I couldn't get here no sooner because of my old fella.
Oh.
I've sent him up west to have a look at the post office tower.
Have you? Oh,
yes.
That'll give him something to think about.
Yes, it will. It'll remind him of the old days.
Yes, the good old days when he worked for the post office, didn't he? Yes, sorter he was.
Sorter what?
Mail.
Oh, he still is. Oh, he's in full command of all his facilities. It's just that his memory lets him down now and then. Well,
no good having the facilities if you can't remember what they're for.
No.
Still, I suppose that's better than the other way round.
Yes. Anyway, I asked you to meet me here because I've got something to tell you.
Oh, what?
We can't go on meeting like this, Tony.
You're dead right, we can't.
If he knew we was here together in this home box, he'd jump right off the top of the post office tower. Jump clean off it, he would. That's why I made him take his umbrella.
Well, you needn't have bothered.
How do you mean?
I've just seen him crossing the road with a lady from the laundrette.
Problem Corner. If you have tears, prepare to shed them now, as we welcome our Problem Man of the Week.
My name is Clarence J. Mouse Partner, and my problem is I keep getting this ambivalent feeling.
No, I am sorry.
I haven't finished. This ambivalent feeling about staircases. I've only to clap eyes on a staircase and I start having a sort of love-hate relationship with it.
Really? How does it take you?
Well, I love going up, but I hate coming down. So I keep getting marooned at the top of high buildings.
But can't you come down by lift?
Oh, I daren't set foot in a lift. The sight of all the buttons might prove irresistible to my passionate nature.
Yes, but in them, you might love coming down and hate going up. Then you'd be all right.
No, I wouldn't.
Why not?
Well, if I started playing around with the lifts, I'd feel I was betraying my staircases. I've already got a revolving door on my conscience.
How very painful.
Yeah. I spent all night in it. Going round and round. That wasn't no good, though. I couldn't forget my staircases. That is why I have moved to a bungalow on a deserted bit of coast near Land's End.
Very wise. You'll be able to get staircases right out of your system.
Well, not entirely. You see...
Yes?
I'm right next door to the lighthouse.
Once again, it's Crackerjack and Ori with Mother Time. And with a hop, skip and a jump, here comes Bouncing Maud Nethersole.
Hello, Tinies. And Biggies, too. Isn't going to bed fun? Especially when there's someone there to tell you a story. Well, here's one that'll send you off to the land of Nod in less than no time. Long ago, there lived a brother and sister called Hansel and Gretel, both of whom were sopranos, but rather stunted. One day, Gretel said to Hansel,
I feel like a tramp in the woods. How about you?
And Hansel replied,
why there's about a more than time in the world.
But after some recitative and a quick aria, off they went. However, living in the wood, there was a witch called Maisie, who was in a very bad temper because she'd just failed an audition for Macbeth. They said her cauldron was too big and her legs weren't good enough to wear a kilt. And she put a spell on everyone in sight, and Hansel and Gretel fell asleep for 100 years just as they were about to render We'll Gather Lilacs. And that silenced both of them for quite a time, as it did all of you. A passing fairy godmother, whose flight had been delayed by fog, took pity on them all, and before you could say goody two-shoes, there was a complete transformation, and they all had the last waltz with Engelbert Humperdinck. But now, it's time for a song, and here is a very jolly marching song. Do you hear the marching feet? It's the centipedes on parade. Marching proudly down the street is the centipedes on parade. Hear them shouting left, right, left as they march along. Ooh, think of the pain for a centipede if part of him gets it wrong. Wives and girlfriends all are there for the centipedes on parade. Tonight they'll tango round the square to a centipede serenade. Then arm in arm they'll seal off home by various different routes. And beside the bed of each centipede there'll be 200 pairs of boots.
This week's edition of Vardaying Back takes a frank look at the oil industry. We bring you a personal interview with two men who have spent their whole working lives in oil.
Oh, hello, I'm the developments manager of Jeunesse Doré Oil Company, and this is my top geologist, Rock.
Oh, hello! Oh, how very lubricating to Vardy your transcontinental pipeline. You'd never think, would you? You'd never think he spent all morning washing sand out of his theodolite.
No. Dare I ask how it got there?
Of course you dare. We just come back from the Middle East, love. Did you have a time with those Bedouins?
Oh, we did. All those Bedouins. Ooh. Tell him what you had to do to get a concession out of that old sheik.
Oh, I dare say. No, modesty forbid.
Go on.
The laughing stock of the refinery.
Go on, tell him.
No!
Tell him!
No!
Tell him!
Oh, all right. Well, we found this oil well, you see, on a bit of land belonging to this sheik.
Tell him his name. No. Tell him his name. No. Go on, it was Abu Ben Clint. Yes. Wasn't it?
Abu Ben Clint. Ooh, he drove a hard bargain.
And three Cadillacs as well.
Oh, loaded he was.
Did you see the jewels all over his abble babble?
What?
Encrusted it was. Crafted it was.
Any road up. Just as I'm about to start negotiating, in comes his wives with the dinner.
365 of them, Ducky. 365. One for each day of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought February the 29th looked a bit down in the mouth, didn't you?
Well, it comes round once every 4 years. Dinner.
All the dinner took a bit of getting through, didn't it?
Oh.
16 courses, each one a different part of the sheet.
Starting at the head and working backward.
Oh, I got ever so worried around about the 15th course.
Mind you, it's not that I mind eating the tail. No, I just wish they'd taken the wool off first.
Yeah. Well, any road up. I was getting beside myself at this time. Been there 3 hours, I had. Hadn't even opened up negotiations, had I?
No, you hadn't.
No.
He wouldn't give you a chance.
No.
Picture the scene, Ducky. Yes. There's my friend sitting on this Arabian puff, longing. No. There they have, and they're low.
Yes.
And enjoyed
this
one. Yes, sitting on this leather puff. Longing to get on with the Polari. But will this sheik listen? Will he
No, no, he won't.
No. No.
Every time I open my mouth, he shoves some food in it.
Yes, shoves some food. At last, he could bear it no longer.
No longer.
He had to speak, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I had to.
You had to speak.
To.
And
yes.
Tell him what you said.
No, I can't.
Go on.
No.
Go on. Tell him. Tell him what you said when the sheik leaned across the table and offered you a date.
I said, all right, but only if I can bring my friend.
Keeping abreast of developments on the pop scene, we bring you news of the latest releases. And here are three who were released on bail last Monday. Peter, Paul and Mrs. Nosepoltice.
Hi, man. Nice to meet you.
It's a going scene, man. It's a going scene.
Is it? Well, perhaps you'd better sing before it disappears through the hole in the middle.
I'll try, I'm sure.
I can hardly wait to hear it.
A fella called Brady once called on a lady, and she was an osteopath named Flo.
He just said good morning, and then, without warning,
she rolled up her sleeves and she said, here we go.
She said, here we go. She said, here we go.
And started before he had time to say no.
She found there was tension, just where I won't mention,
and gave him a terrible thump on his rear.
Her elbow was roaming around his abdomen,
and where his right leg was, he had no idea.
He had no idea. He had no idea.
It felt like she'd shoved it behind his right ear.
When Brady was able to rise from her table,
he said, I came round here because I was told you felt discontented with the telly you've rented. I've just come to look at your vertical hold.
Your vertical hold, your vertical hold.
He said, it seems fine, but your hands are half cold.
Time now for our film adaptation. This week, a bawdy restoration comedy. The Adventures of Dando Tweakshaft.
The time, the 18th century. The place, a small coaching inn called the Old Dun Cove. I'm Moll Bouncy, the servant wench. I wait upon the table, but not for long. I'm madly in love with my boyfriend Dando, and so is he.
And why not? I'm a lusty country lad, Moll. Ah, oh, I don't like the way that lecherous old Squire Upjohn do come in here, a-grabbing and a-lusting and a-making lewd suggestions.
He's never done that.
Well, not to you, maybe. Oh, but Moll, if he ever does... Oh, Moll, I'm starving.
Ho, Squire.
I'm looking forward to getting me teeth into your famous pasties.
Oh.
Oh, I heard that.
Dando leapt at the Squire. The Squire drew a sword. Dando drew a flower in a pot, and the Squire drew a pussycat. Dando drew a house with smoke coming from the chimney and coloured it with crayons.
I yield, I yield. You'll regret this, you young whelp. I carry a lot of weight in these parts.
And in those parts.
How dare you! You dastard!
I beg your pardon.
Oh, run, Dando, run! The squire is a hard man when he's pressed.
Having quarrelled with the squire, Dando was on the run. He turned to crime, at first in a small way.
Stand and deliver your lollipop or your life.
Say your pussy, Lomagal!
Oh, right, forget it.
Later on, he fell in with the notorious highwayman, Jack Rossflannel.
Step me vitals, lad.
What, here?
I'm one of the gentry what filches the gold from the pockets of the poor innocent travellers. When I pass by, honest men turn their faces to the wall.
Oh, and then what do they do?
I don't want to discuss it, lad, but it ain't respectful. Oh, I'm hated and feared. There's 1,000 guineas on me head.
It suits you.
Thank you, lad. I've taken a fancy to ye. Ye throw in your lot with me.
I'd like that.
That night, beside the highway, two shadowy figures lurked in the bushes. They were up to no good.
Oh, look at them.
Well, never mind them, lad. No time to watch courting couples. Here comes the coach with the rich gents here and their ladies aboard. Right, get out there and hold them up.
Right.
Stand and deliver!
Percy, look! We're being held up by a highwayman. How quaint!
Your money or your wife?
Oh, I think he means life, dear.
Leave the man alone, Percy. He knows what he's doing. Hello there, young man! Are you going to hold my husband at pistol point while you take advantage of me?
Why, I can't do both at once, can I?
Well, I'll hold the pistols for you.
Oh, perhaps not today. No, actually, it's your purse I'm after.
Good grief, it's me he wants.
No. No. It's your gold coins.
Dando was now on the run from the law, but he kept one jump ahead of them, thanks to his trusty steed, Polka Dotted Bess. Made with deep psychological insight by myself, Douglas Smith. I'm a fine figure of a horse, 14 hands and a bit in my mouth.
The mind boggles.
You can tell my age by looking at my teeth.
Pass them round amongst yourselves. Let him have them back before lunch. They're on hire.
Back to the plot.
Oh, Dando, you should never have come back here to the old dun cow. The law will be after you.
Ah, I know, Moll. I just galloped 90 miles over rough country.
Has your trusty Douglas Smith had his oats?
Ah, you bet he has.
Open up! Open up in the name of the law!
I know that voice. It's Harry Colbean, the Bow Street runner. Quick, Dando, hide under my hoop skirt.
That's the first place he'll think of looking. Oh, all right.
Right, where is it?
Oh, surely you don't mean... Oh! Dando, Tweed Sheriff, the highwayman. He hasn't been here for weeks, but I am but an innocent... Oh, mate!
What's that noise?
Archie!
I thought so. There's someone hiding under your skirts. Come on out, Dando. Or do I have to come in after you, I hope?
I surrender. It's all your fault, Mo.
Why?
Well, it's a ridiculous place to keep a lavender bag.
Some time later, the scene, Tyburn Tree. The public are gathered round the awful scaffold. Dreaded noose was placed around Dando's neck.
Any last requests?
Yes, I have. Could I?
You should have gone before you came. No time for a haircut now.
Suddenly, a voice from the crowd.
Dando, it is I, Mole. I've brought your trusty steed. Jump!
Dando flung aside the hangman, leapt astride his horse, and galloped off in the direction of Richmond. Unfortunately, he forgot to remove the rope first.
Oh! Anyone got a throat pastel?
Dando did escape, and the song that grew up round his legend can still be heard today, if your luck's out.
He is a famous highwayman, highwayman. He holds up every coach he can, he's brought the men and the women he has wooed.
Except when I'm in a funny mood.
So ends our short film adaptation. It would have been longer if it hadn't been for the repeal of the Corn Law. The producer would only allow one old joke per page. Time only for a quick word from Joan Sims.
Ladies, Bring a little romance back into your marriage. If your husband liked that filmy black negligee you wore on honeymoon, why not give it to him?
That was Stop Messing About with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Joan Sims, and the Max Harris Group. The script was by Johnny Mortimer and Brian Cook and Miles Rudge. The producer was John Simmons.